Broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And a glorious day it certainly is. We're going to have partly sunny skies, breezy. The winds are out of the east, in case you're trying to judge that shot. 15 to 25 miles an hour. We'll have some scattered showers over the Windward and Mocha sections. And otherwise, a gorgeous day in Hawaii'i, as always. We've got Bob Bupka coming up this morning, we hope, from 10 until noon on Saturday and Sunday on PGA Tour Radio, Sirius XM. You can listen to Bob Bupka and Alex Maselli discussing everything from what's hot in golf to what's not, because they both have opinions that are completely opposite of the other. Makes for some very interesting radio. We're going to be talking about the U.S. Open qualifying. That's going to happen on Monday. The college golf NCAA, the championships, there's some semifinal action today. And just how lost is Rory in his game? And what about Tiger? I felt like he lost his pace of play. I don't know, there was something about the pairing of Freddie Couples. They really enjoy each other's company. It's just going to be interesting to see what happens today. Matteo Manassero on the European Tour, man, he was on fire. Won last week. He had the lead going into today. Now he's tied for third, but still on a great pace. And what about Australian Andrew Dodds, two holes in one? You know, some people have all the luck of the Irish. As we're speaking of Ireland, we're going to be talking with Northern Ireland's John Richardson. He wrote the book Dream On, and then he decided, you know, I want to make this into a movie. So 2009, he was on the show. We're talking about his book, Dream On. And now he's making a movie. Production started this month. Yes, talking about living your dream. All right, we're going to get into slow play. We got lots to talk about. And coming up, Bob Carney from Golf Digest on, hey, you've got time for nine, but let's thank the people who make this show possible. We'll bring that to you.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic, you should ride in comfort. Introducing the Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Jam. And Star Protection. Get your property threat and risk assessment, then protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
People who are traveling to the West Coast from Hawaii for U.S. Open qualifying, Ryan Acosta of Haleiwa, Garrett Okamura of Wailuku, Kyohei Nomura of Honolulu, Alex Chiarella of Makawao, Tony Finau, he's of Leti, Utah, or Kahuku, Hawaii, depending where he is at the time. You guys, may y'all hit the sweet spot every time. I'm really pulling for you. You know, and when you look at some of the qualifying sites, there are 12 on Monday. It reads like a leaderboard on any given day. Davis Love III, Rory Sabatini, Trevor Immelman, Ricky Barnes, Brendan Steele, Ryo Ishikawa, Kevin Stadler, Bud Cauley, Charles Howell, Vijay Singh, Jeff Overton, Aaron Baddeley, Mike Weir, Derek Ernst, all winners indeed, and all trying to qualify for this year's U.S. Open. It's going to be very interesting. Also interesting, of course, on the collegiate level is Cal. Most amazing record of all college teams right now, the Golden Bears, self-funded, by the by. Yes, no home course, 11 wins in their first 13 tournaments. They go up against the Fighting Illini. Illinois, most improved team, they say, who won the conference and regional before going into this semifinal. Most important lesson is to have fun, according to their coach. And you know what? When you go play around today, make it nine, if that's all you've got time for, and have some fun. Okay, on the other side, it's Georgia Tech, the host, of course, and all of their team members are rookies. It's their first NCAA playing in their first championship. Awesome. And Alabama ranked number two. And their coach said, just expect your opponent to be great. Now, probably your money's on Cal versus Alabama in the final, right? Well, maybe and maybe not. Butch Harmon said something yesterday that he probably wishes he had not said. He may not be giving any playing advice on Twitter, in the near future at least. This is Nick Watney shooting 8277, right? Okay, Nick Watney. And it's Butch Harmon's student. And Harmon said on Twitter, "Wow, N. Watney, plus 15, didn't see this coming, must be having some personal problems." Oh dear. Harmon tweets about 3 minutes later, "Or some physical problems. He can't shoot that high." Well, you know, once you've said something, once the words are out of your mouth, in this case written down, Twitter's a great form of express yourself, but sometimes you just gotta hold it back. I know, you know, the ego gets in there, you really want to say something. Don't. So, Alex Maselli showed Nick Watney the tweet. Watney said, "Interesting, no comment." Of course, nobody wants the world to think that there's personal problems in anyone's life, and certainly Nick Watney doesn't want it being bandied about. So what does Harmon say after, "Well, it was a mistake on my part. I love the kid like a son. I didn't mean to offend. Look forward to working with Nick at Marion." Maybe a hitch in the get-along there. Okay, and finally, the final tweet yesterday from Harmon is, "Thank you to all of you who have chosen to follow me, but after a big mistake today, I'm off Twitter. Best to all. Bye-bye." Well, I checked the account this morning. It's active. That means that it's there and people are sending messages to him, but he hasn't messaged anything out. There's no reason why he, you know, couldn't come back sometime in the future. We don't know. Oh, look who's with us. Yes, the man himself. The voice of golf. He's on. I've done this introduction once before, so you know he's in the grill room with Alex Maselli. Welcome to the show, Bob Bupka.
Hey, Danielle. How are you? Sorry for being a little bit late. Things got messed up on our end here.
No problem. You know, talking with you is always a treat, and I kind of started off with a little collegiate stuff, and that's exciting. Who are you pulling for? I know you're following that. You love college.
Well, anybody that wins in the collegiate ranks, I'm just a little disappointed that they still have a individual championship. It's really a team thing, and that's the way it should be, and I think the USGA in the very near future will be eliminating the individual portion of it and keep it strictly a team competition.
Ah, see, these are the insights we get from Bob Bupka, eliminating the individual competition. That's a really good point. But then there are those guys that get into the competition as individuals after their team didn't, but because they've done something really spectacular over the season. What about those guys? You don't think they deserve a chance?
Well, I mean, there's other competitions that they can play in. I mean, obviously the U.S. Amateur. I just think collegiate golf at that level is a team thing. You know, I could be in the minority. I mean, you could be right. I'm not trying to slight anybody, obviously, by them not getting in. But, you know, you go as a team, you win as a team, you lose as a team. That's just the way I think.
Yeah, and I get it. I get it, because the individual thing always confused me. I mean, this is a team competition. Why are there individuals? You know, why are we heralding the individual medalist over there when they're all as team, they're team, playing as a team? You know, speaking of playing as a team, Texas A&M getting eliminated because of slow play. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, that's like the first step in a massive initiative that has to be conducted to get people to play faster golf. Ironically enough, in preparation for Marion, I watched the 71 U.S. Open at Marion and the famous playoff with Jack Nicklaus and Lee Trevino. And good golly, Jack Nicklaus was so slow that, I mean, he would have to be embarrassed if he watched that. And I'm talking about, you know, maybe an 18-inch putt taking 20, 30 seconds to strike the ball. I mean, golly. I mean, I heard all along, and I've got to see Jack play quite a few times. But until you look at it, and maybe it looks slower, in comparison, Lee Trevino, who's probably the fastest player ever to play the game,
Yeah.
But Jack was slow, and people don't have time anymore, Danielle. It used to be that, the dad worked, the mom was able to stay home, so weekends the dad got rewarded and maybe be able to go play golf. But, you know, now moms are working just as much, and when weekends come, they don't have mom or dad. They just don't have 5 or 6 hours to go out and play a round of golf. And unless we do something to speed it up, we're going to have more and more people dropping out of the game. And that's just not a good thing.
Yeah. What do you think about, you know, how in the collegiate level, when the USGA or the NCAA has these events, there's the checkpoint system used to monitor the pace of play. So, you know, you have to make it to certain holes on the course and stick the flag and the pin at a designated time. If you're late, you get your first warning, no discussion. You can appeal it at the time when you, finish the round. If the same group is late at the next checkpoint, hole number 9, then if they're like after their allotted time and 14 minutes behind the group in front, now they're liable for that one stroke penalty. They may not be able to get to argue their way out of it. There may be extenuating circumstances, like it took a long time to figure out where to drop the ball when it went across a water hazard. Whatever the case, what if everybody was on this checkpoint system? Do you think that would work in professional golf?
Well, I don't know about it. Well, in professional golf, you know, they have rules officials that are with every group, or they can put a group on the clock if they see that a hole opens up ahead of them. But it's on the general public playing golf is where we have to get people to speed up. And I've been at a lot of golf courses that have a clock, and when you get to that tee, it said you should have been playing now for 60 minutes. You should have been. You know, you get a couple of more tees ahead, you should be playing for 90 minutes. And people then can self-monitor themselves. I mean, because the average golfer playing on the weekend, there's no such thing as assessing penalties or whatnot. All you have to do is visit Scotland. I mean, I give them all the credit in the world. I mean, if you take 4 hours to play around the golf in Scotland, you're considered, doing a disservice to the golf course, and you get reprimanded. Over there, 3 hours, 3.5 hours, that's what it takes to play 18 holes of golf. Here in the United States and Hawaii, too, I'm sure, Hawaii obviously part of the United States, but over in Hawaii, I mean, rounds take up 5, 5.5 hours, and it's just too much time, in the modern day, where there's so many demands on people that they didn't have before. And so we got to speed it up somehow.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. We're going to be talking with Bob Carney when we finish our conversation about time for 9. You know, if you don't have time for 18, why not 9 holes? What's wrong with playing 9 holes of golf? It's a great way to get out with the family and have some fun. Speaking of having fun, I don't think Rory McIlroy is having much fun right now at Memorial. Tiger Woods didn't look like he was having any fun. What's your take on those two?
Well, Tiger obviously was the overwhelming favorite coming in. They made it sound like all he has to do is put his peg in the ground and he's going to win Memorial. Well, golf is just not that way, and there's so many good players, and Tiger, has gotten some, rub of the green, I want to say. You know, his ball finishes 2 feet in one direction versus 2 feet in another direction.
And yeah.
He has absolutely no shot. It's just not his week. He'll leave here. He'll go play Marion, I'm sure, one more or two more times, and then he'll show up the following week. His eyes are just set on trying to win the 15th major of his career. Sure, would he have liked to win Jack's event this week? Yes, he would. But basically, his thoughts and everything are already focused on what he's going to do at Marion. It's been 5 years. It's hard to believe, 2008. His last major victory. If I told you that in 2008, you never would have allowed me on your show again, because you would have thought that I was certifiable,
which
I might be anyway. But
no.
Tiger needs another major.
That's all there is to it, right? And what,
what about bottom line?
Bottom line is, yeah, until he wins another major, he's not back.
Well, yeah, I mean, you hear that argument, but, you know, obviously he's back. I mean, you don't win as often as he's winning on the PGA Tour without being back.
Yeah.
I mean, he set the standard so high when he was on top of his game and rattling off those 14 majors. But things have changed. You know, he's 37 years old. You get older. He's got two children now. I mean, last week he's out water skiing with them. 15 years ago, you wouldn't see Tiger out water skiing on an off week. He'd be beating balls the entire day. So, I mean, you know, and you get little, you know, pain in the back, a pain in the hip.
Really? 37?
Yeah, getting older. I mean, that's the bottom line, Danielle. I mean, it happens to all of us. Believe me, one day you're going to get old. You'll find out.
All right. What about Rory? I mean, is it just he's streaky? I mean, you know, he had a year like this last year, didn't he, where he was, like, really off, and then, bam, he comes and wins a major.
Well, you know what? If I was in charge of Rory McIlroy, here's exactly what I would do. I'd sit down and I'd write a check to Nike and say, thank you very much. Here's your money back. I'll get my Titleist clubs back. I don't worry about my management. I go back to Chubby Chandler, who he was with originally. And then all I have to do is worry about playing golf. I mean, if you saw him yesterday, his father's part of the management team now, and he's there at the golf course. I mean, there's just too much noise, is what I want to say, away from the golf course. Not, it used to be he just had to show up and play golf, and now there's so many things to worry about, and that element of doubt every time he hits a poor shot, you know, did I make a mistake switching clubs? Or, you know, are these clubs exactly like the clubs I had before? I mean, once that starts creeping into your head, it's very difficult to play this game.
Bob Bupka, I wish you were here a little bit. We got to make sure that I somehow am able to talk to you, get you here on time, because we have Bob Carney calling in next, and I got to free up the line. I love talking with you, Bob. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Not a problem. I enjoy being a warm-up act for the other Bob.
And we'll be back right
after.
Thank you very much, Bob, always. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get-together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem.
The 2014 Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Go test drive this car at Acura Honolulu, 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. I want a tight turning radius. You'll get that in the Acura RLX. I want a responsive engine. You'll get that in the Acura RLX. And a smooth, quiet ride down Ala Moana Boulevard. You'll get that. It's so good on the nerves on Honolulu streets. But don't take my word. Test drive the 2014 Acura RLX. Call for an overnight test drive. You heard right. Call General Sales Manager TJ Jones for your appointment to visit Acura of Honolulu. Your time's valuable. Book it. Call 942-4555. Meet with TJ and the RLX expert. There is so much to Acura's RLX, where luxury meets high tech. Acura's flagship sedan. Take it home. Keep it overnight. See how it fits in your life. You heard right. Acura of Honolulu will wash and vacuum your current car while you're experiencing the Acura RLX. When you bring it back, find out when you can take your Acura RLX or RLX Advance home. The number is 808-942-4555. His name is TJ. The car is the Acura RLX. It's an amazing car, and I'm not easily amazed.
Let's see. 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. Coming up in the show, we've got Father's Day gifts that you could win. How about a couple of rounds at Poipu Bay Golf Course and some tailor-made rocket balls? Yes, indeed. Not yet. Not yet. Lines are busy right now. We have, you know what? I said congratulations and may y'all hit the sweet spot every time to the guys going out to play in the U.S. Open qualifying on Monday from Hawaii. I need to, two wonderful young ladies. Marielle Galdiano, she's almost 15, she's 14. She played in her first U.S. Women's Open at 13. She qualified again at Wailea Country Club. Yeah. And then there's Kyung Kim of USC. You know, they won like by 21 strokes. A fabulous team. And Kyung Kim will be playing in the U.S. Women's Open as well. So will Christina Kim, Laura Diaz, Jennifer Rosales. I've always liked Jennifer. She was the first to just come out with style, her own style of dress. But she first broke through and made a statement. Jane Park, Irene Cho, just a few of the many. And congratulations to Hideki Matsuyama. You know, he turned professional in April, but he's the guy who was in back-to-back victories at the Asia-Pacific Amateur and played in the Masters. And now he's a professional and he'll be playing in the U.S. Open. He qualified medalist in the Japan sectional. Now, this is what I want you guys to wrap your head around. I want you not to think that you got to go out and play 18 holes. You may not have time for 18, but you've got time for 9. And Golf Digest, contributing editor, creative director for Golf Digest for 26 years, and brand director for Condé Nast, Bob Carney, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be here.
It's good to have you on, sir, and I really enjoyed both of your articles that are out in Golf Digest, golfdigest.com. One is the new initiative, Time for 9, and the other one is Why Golf Has to Change, which I've changed the actual headline, but it was something to that effect.
And yep, that was it. Yep.
It, you know, it's both of them, but we're going to focus on the new initiative, Time for 9, and I got to tell you, a lot of guys have an issue about they got to play 18. It's tradition. You know, got to play 18. You're not really challenging. You're not doing. How do you get through to the traditionalists that there's time for 9, or do we have to?
Well, I think you just remind them. You know, I think you know, when I went back and I did this story, because I'm a decent player, and so I kind of have the same tendency. You know, God, we're not going to be able to play 18. What's the point? Then I thought of all the great 9-hole rounds I played. I mean, I played one time with my fiance, now wife Julie, and had a hole in one. You know, we've played great twilight rounds. We've played 9-hole matches. So many tournaments now use the 9-hole match format. So if you remind people of that, they tend to go, "Oh yeah, you know, you're right about that." And sometimes we go out on a Sunday afternoon and play 6 or 7 or 8 or maybe 9 holes with the family, and those are great times. So it's more a matter of reminding them than convincing them, I think.
Okay, and this is also kind of the idea, is to get people who don't have time to think that there is time for 9, right? I mean, and people who are new to the game who think, I can't make that kind of a commitment.
Absolutely, and, you know, there's so many opportunities. you know, we used to say, well, if we're going to entertain a business client, we need to set up an 18-hole. How do we know that? He might be perfectly happy to go over at the end of the day and at work and, you know, play nine holes and have a beer, and you have a great business opportunity as well. So it's not just for leisure. It also can work on the business side.
Yeah, for those people who don't think we're taking advantage enough of the business golf relationship. For me, the nine holes is important for women and junior golfers.
Absolutely.
Women tend to be so preoccupied with what they have to do in their life that they don't think that they have time to go play. And I mean any kind of play. It's so rejuvenating, though. Tell me a little bit about, I'm going to Why Golf Has to Change, the article a little bit.
Sure.
About women, the push to get women into the game has been very vocal, but from what I read in your article, hasn't come to fruition.
No, it hasn't. We've kind of, and you know, some parts of this may be the economy, but we've spent, as Kathy Harbin from Club Corp said, and Kathy's been in the middle of all of this, you know, we've spent the last 20 years talking about getting juniors and women in the game, and we have fewer playing now than we did before. We probably have about the same percentage of women overall, but it's not, those efforts haven't stuck. And I think a lot of it, and, you know, I'm sure you agree with me, a lot of it is just, it looks like a hard work thing to do for some people. It doesn't look like fun. And I think the more we kind of make it fun, you know, not worry too much about every single rule and not worry too much about, you know, what our score is, the better we have, better chance we have to get young people and women into the game. Because I don't think they treat the game the same as male former athletes who, you know, want everything to be competitive.
No, we don't. There is a competitive streak in everyone. But at the same time, if you're not that good, you're willing to be a camarade.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
Just, okay, you go out there and show me how good you are, and I'm going to be your cheerleader, and I'll play too. But, you know, we know how to kind of like, and I guys know this too, as long as you don't feel like you're dragging things down. And in the, you know, there's lots of different ways of playing the game if people who are you're playing with are willing to, let's play best ball. I'll hit from wherever you get. And that way we can keep the pace going and I won't slow you down. And I won't slow the other guys down either. I want to go to Jerry Tardy is quoted, the editor-chief of Golf Digest. You guys partnered up with the, and this is interesting given the anchored stroke issue, the USGA and the PGA of America, right?
We got them to agree on this.
Yes,
right?
Wonderful. Yes. I was thrilled to see that. But he said, we're not trying to get everyone who plays 18 holes to play nine holes. No, we're after the people who aren't playing because they think golf is a half-day proposition, which it isn't. It doesn't have to be. You know, we don't have a lot of nine-hole courses in Hawaii, but there's no reason why you can't just go and, you know, I don't mind. If I want to go out, I pay for my 18, I'll play for nine. It will make me happy. I won't be exhausted because I'm tired from the work week already. It's been 6 days of working. I've got a half day. I want to take maybe 3 hours to go play golf, and I still want to have a little evening time where I don't fall down. It's. I think it's really smart, and this is where I have the problem. I go on a golf course, and I see the looks people give those of us who aren't that good or who only want to play nine, and I want to say to them, you want to bring more people into this game. Now, this is Danielle editorializing, okay? This isn't Golf Digest or Bob Carney. If you want all those sparkly, shiny new gadgets that the golf companies are coming out with, then you need to get people coming into the game to infuse money into the R&D department of TaylorMade, Titleist, Callaway, etc., et al., and then they can make all these sparkly new gadgets for you to have fun with. But if...
Absolutely.
You follow the money here, people. Embrace the new guys. They're not going to get in the way that much. They're not going to try to change your game. But let the little man in.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, the real struggle in all of this, I think, Danielle, the real struggle is among avid golfers. It's just what you said. There has to be an acceptance and embracing of new players. And there are some players, there are some avid golfers who are good players who simply don't have a lot of time for it, and that has to change. And I think the management of courses, you know, when I talked to Troon and Billy Casper and Kemper, and they're all trying to do just that. They're trying to make the dress codes a little bit more commonsensical. They're trying to make the pricing better so that if you come out with your son or daughter and she only wants to play three holes, you can go out and play three holes. Or maybe in one case, I think it was in Hawaii, they allow you to pay for 18 at the beginning of the week and then use those 18 holes anytime you want during that week. So there's a lot more flexibility on the part of the people managing golf courses. And I think sometimes the real culprits here are avid players who don't remember that there were people who helped them get into the game, who were tolerant and patient and let them hit some bad shots. And I think we just have to keep remembering to do that for new players.
I like that. And I like your story. You know, one thing that's interesting, because whenever I get dressed for a golf course, I always have to remember that I have to get dressed to, right? And it's got to be the way those people, I don't mean it that way. The people at the golf course expect me to look. Now, you wrote the story about why golf's got to change. And you started off by saying you went to this 9-hole golf course that said it was busy in November, I think it was the 5th, and you went, I've got to go check this out. How can they be busy on the 5th of November? And you started off by saying, okay, hot dogs are $2.75, and everyone wore jeans. And I went, people were wearing jeans on a golf course? Oh, dear. You know, there was actually that reaction in my mind, and I thought, wait a second, I know a lot of people, a lot of kids, a lot of people just getting into the game who would feel most comfortable. You want to be in the most comfortable clothes because that makes you, that's your comfort zone, right?
Yep.
So let them wear jeans. But that's like forbidden territory. You really broached a really...
we have very funny standards. You know, I was watching ESPN the other day, and there was a guy from the radio show who was appearing on SportsCenter, and he was an expert, and he was very sharp. He was wearing a blazer, open-collared shirt, but he was wearing a pair of jeans. And at the end of the interview, he looked at the camera, pointed at his pants, and said, jeans on SportsCenter. It's the first. And you think, that's a sports channel. Come on. So we've kind of got to get, like, we're outdoors. We're trying to have fun. Most people know how to dress, and if they happen to wear a nice pair of jeans, it's okay. But boy, the old club standards, Northeastern club standards, it takes some people a long time to change them.
You'd be surprised, even in Hawaii, where you would think it's very, very relaxed, that would be frowned on. You know, at a muni, you know, at a military course, it would not. And I thought that's the sort of thing, you know, where you wonder why not. You know, why not if the person's comfortable? But maybe people don't realize that. I was shocked at the numbers as I was reading your article. 15% fewer golfers over the past 6 years.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think the industry would say that a lot of that has to do with the economy. I mean, there are a lot of industries that went down a large percentage. But I think what's concerning to people in golf is that we've spent those 15 years trying to get new people into the game. And even if economy's bad, we should have probably made better progress than that. So what's the big issue? Well, that's where we came up with the 9 holes, because once you start to put golf in the category of how long it takes to see a movie, go to dinner, you know, a couple of hours. It's a different ball game than, as you said earlier, Danielle, oh my God, golf's a half a day proposition. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be. Yeah, mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be. And I think as we look back, time is maybe something we should have concentrated on more.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I was also shocked at the juniors, where Hawaii is big on junior golf, 40% down since 2005. That's almost half.
And you hope if you can just get kids started, even if they stop for a while, they'll come back to it. You know, it's almost like riding a bike in a way. If you've learned early, you tend to come back. But I think we have to have more. I mean, there's some great, you mentioned some young competitors during your show. We also have to make room for just kind of hit and giggle golf, you know, just fun golf. And I noticed our high school now has a recreational golf program, not just a competitive golf program. Well, that to me is genius, because that says, look, you don't have to shoot a certain score. What we want you to do is get into the habit of going out and playing a few holes, playing 9 holes. That habit will stay with people, I think. But,
I like it. Having fun, yeah. And that's, what a concept, huh? If we've got, you know, 3 hours, why would I want to go out and be miserable? what was the sign that you saw? The sign, this is Bob Carney, Golf Digest contributing editor. We're talking about Time for Nine, an initiative this month, and, you know, making people nine-hole friendly. And he saw the sign that said, fabulous home, really nasty golf course, or something like that. And I thought, why do we judge something as being good in golf as being really bad? What was your equivalent to that when you saw that sign? What was that like saying?
Joe Bettis from the National Golf Foundation noticed that sign. He said, it's like saying, you know, wonderful ski resort, death-defying, chance to kill yourself. You know, it's like, why do we celebrate the difficulty? Why don't we celebrate the fun of it? And you know, we all have to be challenged. You know, that's you play golf to say, I shot a better round than I've ever. But we tend to forget, and certainly the editors at Golf Digest sometimes tend to forget when we get all involved in getting better, that really the whole point here is to have fun and spend time with people you really like. And so even if that time is 2 hours or if it's 5 hours, let's make the most of it. Let's have a little fun.
Bob Carney, thanks so much for being on the show. Real pleasure talking with you.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Danielle.
Absolutely. We're going to come back and talk with a gentleman who took up the game about 6 years ago. It's become his passion, and it saved his life in a way. So thank you, Bob Carney, Golf Digest, and we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Hoipu Bay.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. You know, the Hawaii Golf Senior Open is coming up at Waikele Country Club, a really nice course to play. July 8th through the 9th, and golfers 50 and older are eligible to play. It's the Golf Senior, Hawaii Golf Senior Open, okay? And there are sponsorships available. The entry fee is $160 for amateurs, $260 for professionals, two rounds of golf, tee prizes, tournament prizes. You need to get in touch with Norm Gunther at 625-9860. 808-625-9860. All right, now, you want to win a couple of rounds of golf at Poipu Bay? It's an awesome course on the South Shore. Absolutely spectacular. There's a picture of it in my column. It's just out today. How about, you know, if you're going to go around, this is for Father's Day. You want to give this to Father's Day, or if you're a dad, maybe you just want to keep it for yourself. Nothing wrong with that, Dad. Father's Day, Poipu Bay, two rounds of golf. Plus, you're going to need to get around the golf course, right? How about some tailor-made rocket balls? 808-296-5467, the ninth caller wins. Let's check in now with a father. Speaking of Father's Day, which is all, you know, Danielle plans all these things all around the guests coming up. William Cuevas, a happily married man with six children, indeed. Six kids, retired law enforcement, New York State law enforcement. He was injured in the line of duty. And he found golf 6 years ago. I'd like to bring him on the show right now. Mr. Cuevas, welcome to the show.
How are you doing, Daniel?
I'm doing great. Absolutely fabulous. And you, when you said that golf helped you mentally and physically, that really, it changed your life, you said, when you found it 6 years ago. First, tell us, how did you find golf?
Well, one of my neighbors, he saw me moping around the house, and I mean moping. And he was like, you need to come out and play golf. He had just taken it up a couple weeks earlier. And he said, you have to come out with me. I was like, I don't want to play that. And he's like, no, it really is fun. So he took me out there, and we went to the range. And 3 days later, I had my first set of clubs.
Just like that. Oh, that's awesome.
Just like that. I mean, it was that instantaneously. I was like, wow. I was instantly hooked, and it's never been the same since then.
And you were injured in the line of duty. Was that why you were moping around? Were you recovering?
It was kind of hard, you know, being so young and you know, not able to work. You know, it bothered me. You know, it bothered me being home. You know, my wife ended up going to work afterwards, you know, because she had stayed home with the children. And I was, like, bored. I didn't know what to do with myself. I was not used to sitting home and not doing anything. And it was a big life change for me going from law enforcement to sitting at home and doing nothing. So it was kind of a blessing in disguise, you know, for me. Because I just sat home, got fat. I couldn't do nothing.
Got fat.
Yeah, I did. I went from working out twice a day when I was working to doing nothing. I couldn't do anything. You know, because of the physical limitations, because of the injuries that I had several injuries.
Wow.
I wasn't able to do anything, and it took its toll mentally, because I sat home feeling sorry for myself.
Oh, that's terrible. That's the worst thing. And then your body doesn't recover either, because your mind is down. Your body can't feed off of your mental energy. You took up golf. You went from 240 to 178 pounds, and you look like you're in your fighting weight right now.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't been this weight since high school.
Wow, that's awesome. Absolutely. And let's take it one step further. Here's a guy who went from moping around the house because, you know, he a complete life change. Didn't ask for it. It happened. Line of duty. And then he finds golf, starts to get good at this game, loves this game, embraces it passionately. Then he discovers social media. Then he discovers Mizuno is having a contest. And now, wow, he's playing famously. Mizuno, it's the Team JPX. I saw your contract. This is awesome. It says Mizuno USA will treat William Cuevas and 11 other average everyday golfers hereafter sponsorees famously. How did you win this? This is fantastic.
You know what? It was funny. I just, you know, because, you know, I'm all over social media, you know, Twitter and Facebook. And I use it basically to try and grow golf, you know, and try to give back as much and let people know that it's more than just a game and it could help people. And it just came across the timeline. And, you know, lots of times on the course, you know, me and my buddies are talking. I was like, wow, can you imagine what it would be like to be treated like a pro? You know, can you imagine how great it would be? And I saw it. And I was like, I got to enter this. You fill out the application. You had to write an essay. It, you know, had to be around 500 words. And I thought that was it. I was like, I'm not going to get picked. Then I got an email and said, congratulations, you're on to the next step. Wow. And I was like, oh, wow. I was like, this is really cool. I kind of screamed because all I saw was, you know, congratulations, Mizuno. So I thought I had it. And I didn't know there was another step. And then they said, we're going to set up an interview with a judge, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, okay, cool. So did the, you know, we set up for the judge. They said 15, 20 minutes. I think we spoke for about maybe 30, 40 minutes. It took a while. It was in details of everything, you know, what I thought the game was, what it's done for me, how it's helped me in life and stuff like that. And then you had to sit and wait. And I was lucky. I got the phone call when I was at church teaching as a catechist, faith formation for the kids. And I got the phone call, and I wanted to scream. If I scream in church, what are you going to think? So I contained myself. I was happy. I was excited. I was like, yeah. And they were like, yeah, you're chosen. You're one of the four or thousands. I was like, wow. You know, it still really hasn't sat in because it just keeps coming. You know, it's an animal that's growing larger and larger and larger. And I'm like, wow, I'm really part of this. And, you know, you step back and you think, you know, This is really fabulous. I'm really getting the royal treatment from a fantastic fitting. I've done fittings in the past, but not like this fitting. This fitting was almost 2 hours. I mean, the gentleman that worked from, you know, he's a territory manager, Mike Papel from Mizuno. He came down to my area, and we went to a practice facility in Tampa, and we just hit balls for a couple hours, changing shafts, It was an incredible experience, and that's how it started off.
So you know that wish that you wanted to be treated like a pro?
Uh-huh.
That's exactly what they go through, right? I mean, they get that kind of treatment every day.
Yes.
You want to tweak the club here? You want to tweak it there? You want a different shaft? Let's take a gram off here?
Yes, and that's exactly what he did.
Oh, it's magnificent.
It was. It was amazing. I was like, well, I got these fitted clubs. And hitting fitted clubs that I have now compared to these Mizuno, it's night and day.
Right, it absolutely is. Now, from what I understand, the Mizuno, this is the JPX,
mm-hmm.
the line of irons that they have out. Very thin, so you get the feel, but there's a large sweet spot. Does it work for you?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've been actually taking pictures on the course. I hit a drive, a 289 drive yesterday. I've never in my life, I average about 240, 250. I hit a drive 200. I don't even know. I just kept looking. I my neck got stiff. my friends were like, oh, my good. What is that? What are you drinking? I was like, I don't know. Maybe deer antler's working for me or something.
Whoa.
I was like, wow. And that's, I played like 4 or 5 rounds with them, and I'm getting comfortable with them. And as I get more and more comfortable, they're getting longer. I'm having faith in them. So it's a total different feel. When you get up in front of a ball and you're not thinking, well, this ball might go left, this ball might go right, it's just like aim at your target, swing. If you're a little bit off at the toe, it really stays on target. It's amazing. It really, the dispersion, that's the best way I can say it. The dispersion is tight no matter how far off from that sweet spot that you hit. You won't get the distance from the sweet spot, but you will get the same exact direction that you're aiming at, which is incredible.
Team JPX, you got an invitational to go to. Now, what is this invitational?
The invitational is in September. I believe it's the 14th through the 17th or 18th. And it's play famously. It's the first one. It's at the Country Club of the South in Atlanta. And from I'm thinking because of the fact playing famous and they were talking about we might be playing like the pros.
Right.
We're all assuming the guy, because, you know, we've become a little family, the 8 of us so far that have gotten chosen, that we're going to actually play with the pros, being that it is the home of where Mizuno's at, and we've been communicating with, you know, like Stacy and Luke Arnold and them like that. So our hopes is that we're going to actually play with ourselves and them, which would be tremendous.
You're talking Stacy Lewis, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You're on a first name basis now with her.
we're teammates now, so you know we're on the same page, everything now. So I can call Stacy, I think.
Right. Okay. And so this is great. You're going to. It said in your contract that you will be treated just like the professional players, television announcers whisper about. Sponsorees will have access to the Mizuno tour van. Their names will be announced at the first tee. They'll play in pairs with officials and scorekeepers and rub shoulders with other Mizuno staff players like Luke Donald, Charles Howell III, Jonathan Bird, and Stacy Lewis. This is awesome.
It is.
Are you ready for the first tee jitters when your name's announced?
You know what? I don't know. I haven't shanked a shot, knock on wood, so I'm hoping that the clubs will just take over and my mind will go blank. You know, I'm just hoping that I just go up there and it just becomes a thoughtless process, swing, get the jitters right out from the jump.
Yeah. It's better when your mind goes blank and your body just takes over. Certainly.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Want to congratulate Matt Aguiar of Lihue on Kauai. What a perfect win. You've won the two rounds at Poipu Bay Golf Course. It's a father, maybe, or for your dad, who knows, and TaylorMade rocket balls, yes, to get you around that course. All right, now, we've got a couple of things that I wanted to wrap up before we finish our conversation. I really, really good to meet you. You know, Bill helps my show all the time. On social media, he is always retweeting. He's one of the most giving people I've ever run across. He's just a really, really great guy. And one of his six children serves. And it's your daughter, one of your daughters, right?
Yes. My middle daughter, yep.
Yeah. And so when he gets involved in social media, one of his passions is helping special causes. What are your causes that you would like to help?
Well, the main causes that I help is the military. I fell in love with the Folds of Honor, Major Ed and Dan Rooney. And of course, I just saw a video one day on social media, and I was just drawn to it. And I always had, you know, my daughter, she's on her third rotation already overseas. You know, that could be me. That could be my family. I have my grandkids with me. You know, I would hate to have to use it, but I wanted to help spread that word. And it just came natural. I don't know how or why I did it. It clicked in me. It became a passion, and I started doing it. And then, you know, I saw the cancer causes, and cancer has afflicted my family in so many different ways that, you know, I saw 18 for Life, and then I started figuring out, wow, this game of golf can really give back to people, you know, helping these causes, and everybody's golfing and having a good time, but yet supporting a cause at the same time. So it's like you're getting and giving at the same time, and it just became a passion of mine to help spread that word and let people know that, hey, it's a game. It's fun, and we can use it to help other people, and that's the biggest thing to me. I just love helping other people that are less fortunate, especially since golf has given me a new lease on life, I like to call it, and I want other people to know that it's not too late, and golf helps out veterans, you know, our wounded warriors. I mean, it's amazing the transformation that they go through and the hope and the mind that it transfers on the golf course. The golf course is a great place for anybody with any kind of issues to just unwind and just clear yourself. It's incredible.
It's a healing place, just
yes,
like you found. You found out yourself. That's how we started this conversation. We've come full circle. It's perfect.
Yes.
William Kuibas, thank you so much for being on the show. Go play famously with Mizuno, Team JPX, right on.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
To demonstrate the nimble driving characteristics of this new Acura RDX, we're recording this radio commercial from inside the cabin while being driven by a professional stunt driver. All right, let me open the window here. Ah, listen to the power of the RDX's new V6 engine with 273 horsepower. Now you're experiencing the agility of this deceivingly big crossover. Let's not forget the RDX is also equipped with standard moonroof, Bluetooth phone connectivity, and a 360-watt 7-speaker premium audio system. And it has standard leather seats. Unfortunately, hang on. I really can't get any sound out of these seats. See your Acura dealer for exceptional offers and test drive the new RDX today.
See your Hawaii Acura dealer in Honolulu and Kahului, Maui for the season's best offers on the 2013 Acura RDX. Choosing an Acura just makes sense.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club. But you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the Golf Club.
And welcome back into the clubhouse. We're going to be talking with a gentleman who's in charge of golf tech. He's the VP of Education and Instruction. And there's a great book out called The Par Plan, and I can't wait to talk to him about this. It says 30 days to a better golf game, and you know I'm a total skeptic when it comes to that sort of thing, but it says Golf Magazine and Golf Tech reveal a new method to shooting your goal score. Every player has a number in mind. Yeah, I do. Anything under 100 would be nice. A score that represents a successful day at the course. In the Par Plan, Golf Magazine partnered with Golf Tech, the global leader in golf improvement, with a 95% success rate. 95% success rate? To create a day-by-day regimen to show golfers how finally to get there in 30 days? You know I'm the complete skeptic on anything like that. So we're going to talk with Mr. Hiltz coming up soon about, you know, I want to try. Why not? I mean, look what John Richardson did. John Richardson, he was really great in college golf, and then he kind of got busy with life, and, you know, he left the game, and then he couldn't break 100, I think that's right, so he decided one day, because he's on the phone listening right now, he decided one day, you know what I'm going to do, I'm going to break par, or at least shoot par, even par, level par, whatever par you want to call it, I want to be par for the course. Welcome to the show, John Richardson.
Hey, Danielle, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm sorry. I must have given you the wrong time, wrong number, something, but it's so good we've connected. Now, you went from creating a best-selling book about your journey over a year in which you broke, well, you shot par. Did you break par?
I shot one under in the end, yeah.
One under. See, you did break par, yes.
Yeah.
You created an entire lesson plan about breaking par.
That's right.
And it was very successful, as was your book.
Yes.
Then you made a screenplay, and now your book is your book is becoming a movie. I am just thrilled for you.
Well, it's fascinating, because actually I was working my way through the emails there in an effort to try and see whether I had the right number or not. And I discovered that we first spoke in 2009. So, yeah, the book was just out then.
Yes.
That was when we first done it. I mean, that was very exciting for me at that stage. You know, the journey had already started even 3 years before that, which was when I actually did the golf challenge. And then at that stage, it was sort of trying to, you know, tell people about the book and see how it was going. And then the book, as a result of a wonderful quote by Sam Torrance, or a wonderful comment by Sam Torrance during the British Open in 2009, then the book went absolutely ballistic in terms of sales. And as you know, then stayed at the top of the golf charts in the UK for about 18 months and continues to sell very well. But then, yes, roughly about a year after that, then I sold the film rights
or sold an option on the film rights. And then they have been working very, very hard over the last 3 years or so in an effort to try and get the money together. And trying to get the money together for a film these days is absolutely not the easiest thing to do, as I'm sure you can imagine. But no, it's been an amazing journey. It's been fascinating to watch. And this week, I was over at the shooting of it, which was where we recreated the scene where Sam Torrance originally told my friend to tell me to dream on. So I was standing there with Sam again in this surreal environment of this, you know, 150-odd cast and crew standing around, recreating this scene from my life, you know, as part of this, you know, entire project to recreate, you know, a year of my life, which is just a little bit difficult to take, to be honest, because it's so weird.
It must be strange. See, in October of 2009, Dave Tindall dropped in on you, right?
That's right.
You were talking about this mission that you had to just break par in a year. The book was starting to be reviewed. It's kind of like this. John Richardson, a regular guy with a full-time job, a wife and a child, decides to become a better golfer, or more specifically, turn himself from one who couldn't break 100 to one who could shoot level par. One of the reviews, and this is so perfect, I couldn't have written it better, so I'm going to read it from this reviewer. He said, John writes with a warmth and charisma, and from the opening chapter, you are willing him to succeed. It's absolutely true. You must read this book if you haven't yet. Every conceivable golf, mind, and self-improvement technique is undertaken in the challenge that he has presented to himself. As thousands of balls are hit, videos are analyzed, books are read, mind management methods adopted, and at one point, even a sledgehammer is incorporated into the challenge. Now, I say all that because the idea of you reliving that year, watching it become a movie, do you feel like your mind going crazy again as you relive that?
Totally, because you know, they've recreated, now they've turned, the story has become more of a romantic comedy, you know, at the same time. So there's more humor in it, and there's more of a sort of tension between me and my wife, or my screen wife, just because you have to try and do something, you know, a purely dry golf movie. Well, any film, even Rocky at heart, is a, you know, isn't just a boxing movie, it's a love story too.
Yes.
So you have to do that, but over and above that, the basic core story stays relatively true to what I did. And that means that they recreate all of these scenes with the madness of me, you know, swinging indoors and breaking things and the, you know, the umpteen books and videos and gimmicks and all of that stuff, and the endless watching of the Seve short game video, huge amounts of that are completely recreated. And fascinatingly, of course, they have also, because as you know, in the book, I have these sort of mental, visualized mentors of Seve Ballesteros and Ben Hogan. And that has all been replicated in the film too. So we have got a Ben Hogan and we have got Seve Ballesteros.
Wait a minute. This is from your mind's eye, right?
Exactly.
So
that's right.
What the movie is taking, what you were thinking, how you were trying to improve yourself by, like, having conversations with Ben Hogan or what Seve Ballesteros would say to you,
yes.
You have created that in the movie, so we'll be watching a Seve Ballesteros talking to
you. Watching a Seve Ballesteros, and you'll be watching a Ben Hogan talking to me, giving me advice, being rude to me, just as they did in my slightly odd little head throughout the year. And it's fascinating because Ben Hogan is being played by Maxwell Caulfield, who I don't know whether you remember from The Colbys.
Yes.
Now, if you Google Maxwell Caulfield now and look at the way he looks now, particularly even on his IMDb profile, it's uncanny how much he looks like Hogan in the latter years, you know, even before he's then sort of trying to go for the role. So when I watched his audition tapes, I mean, I was amazed. Fascinating.
Now, you speak of audition tapes, and there's a Facebook page, guys. You can go to a Facebook page and like it. It's
facebook.com/dreamonmovie.
Say the name of it again.
So it's at Facebook, www.facebook.com/dreamonmovie.
Dream on movie. And you can follow on Twitter at Dream On Movie. Okay.
That's right. That's
so you can find out all the things that are going on, the progress that's being made. It was so exciting when I found that because I could see, you know, the auditions and who'd been accepted as who's going to play you and who's going to play your wife and who's going to play your daughter. Your daughter could play your daughter since she's an actress.
This is the bone of contention with her because she has been cut out of it. Because to make it a proper romantic comedy, Leslie has to then turf me out halfway through out of exasperation and then... Well, I don't want to give it away too much, at the end...
Right. No.
If you know what I mean, Amy kind of appears at the end through a magical... unhygienic coupling between me and my wife. So it is a bit different, but she's, of course, very cross because, as you know, she's an actress.
Right. She was in Game of Thrones.
She is indeed,
See, so she's his daughter, John Richardson's daughter's in Game of Thrones. So naturally she thought, if Dad's going to do a movie, I'm going to be in it.
Exactly. Well, the interesting thing is actually the film company, they're producing a horror film later on in the year, and she is up for a part in that. So something might come out of it.
Okay.
It doesn't help, of course, the fact that she's too scared to watch horror films, so we just got to get over that little hurdle. Well, there are various bits, needless to say, of Game of Thrones that she can't watch. Various bits of Game of Thrones I struggle to watch, I have to say.
Yes, it gets a little bit gross. Yes.
Racy is the word that my mother would use.
Racy?
That old-fashioned term, racy.
Well, there's racy, and then there's gruesome. There's
exactly. But needless to say, my mother does not watch Game of Thrones.
All right, so the movie is in production, and how... I saw that a mutual friend of ours got a bit part, and I wasn't offered I wasn't offered anything.
That's very bad of me not to have offered you. Actually, I should have. That's just rude. My mother wouldn't be impressed with that again if I keep bringing my mother back into the conversation.
Yeah, is mom going to be in the movie?
Yes, exactly. No, wait, Andy has a bit part in it as well. Yes, well, there was an extra scene at the scene where Torrance was being shot. Being shot, certainly from Northern Irish terminology, is something that maybe means something else too, but...
No, we mean like shooting a movie.
The shooting of the movie of
Sam Torrance. Shooting of the movie, right, okay.
So that's a black tie scene, so therefore they needed about 50-odd extras. So Andy came along, and now I actually asked Dave Tindall along too, but it was on the bank holiday Monday here, so unfortunately we couldn't do that, annoyingly.
Yes.
Or a lot of people couldn't make it along to that. He was away on... he was away on holiday.
So when is the movie going to come out?
Well, the movie should be out in April or May of next year. As you very well know, the golfing world starts with the Masters. So really what you want to do is try and get it to kick in with all of that sort of, hey, the golf season is off again. So that is the theory at the moment. And then hopefully that will be cool according to plan.
Oh, wow. And so where are we going to have the premiere? Where are we going to have the premiere?
I don't know, but if there is any sort of a premiere going on in Hawaii, trust me, Danielle, I will be out.
Well, I just might fly over there for your premiere. So.
Well, I mean, it certainly will be. I mean, in theory, it'll be worldwide distribution. So, we shall just see. I don't know the mechanics exactly of how that all works.
I understand completely. John, I'm just putting you on the spot right now.
Look, you will get an invitation. Trust me on that one.
Because I'm just really, really thrilled. Here is a man who put a challenge to himself, and then he made a book from it, and he thought, wow, this might make a movie, and now there's a movie coming, and it's just, to me, it's living the dream, and I'm really excited for you, and sorry, Amy, but Dad's doing some really great stuff. Congratulations, John Richardson. This is fantastic.
Thank you so much, Danielle.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to have to keep in touch with you over the next year.
Yes, absolutely. I shall keep you informed.
Right. And we'll have you back on, and I'll give you the right number next time.
Well, I'll probably almost suddenly my fault.
Okay. We're going to have a teaching lesson from Andy Hiltz. He's going to teach us. This is the thing I was talking about before you joined me, this 30 Days to Better Golf.
Oh, right.
Right? You did it in 360. So I'm hoping that I might at least take a few strokes off my game with this, possibly.
Well, I wish you the best.
Thank you very much. And we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. John Richardson, it's Dream On Movie. You can find it at Facebook. Like it on Facebook Dream On Movie, and you can follow all the action, see who's been cast, what's the production, there's pictures, and you can follow on Twitter, Dream On Movie. All right, my name is Danielle Tucker, this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned, we'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
To demonstrate the nimble driving characteristics of this new Acura RDX, we're recording this radio commercial from inside the cabin while being driven by a professional stunt driver. All right, let me open the window here. Listen to the power of the RDX's new V6 engine with 273 horsepower. Now you're experiencing the agility of this deceivingly big crossover. Let's not forget the RDX is also equipped with standard moonroof, Bluetooth phone connectivity, and a 360-watt 7-speaker premium audio system. And it has standard leather seats. Unfortunately, hang on. I really can't get any sound out of these seats. See your Acura dealer for exceptional offers and test drive the new RDX today.
See your Hawaii Acura dealer in Honolulu and Kahului, Maui for the season's best offers on the 2013 Acura RDX. Choosing an Acura just makes sense.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
And welcome back. Do you ever have that feeling like, you know, if you decide you're going to in your fantasy golf game or in, I don't know, betting, wagering, whatever you want to call it, that if you pick something or someone, that you've immediately cursed them? Well, that's kind of how I'm feeling about talking about the LPGA this morning, because Michelle has had a very good round. Michelle Wee had a very good round yesterday of 68, started the day tied for third. Shen Shen Fong is in the lead with Moira Chutkanagarn in tie for the lead. It is, yeah, and fabulous golf is being played. Michelle had a 68. Today she's had birdie and pars. So par, hug a par. Pars are good. Amanda Blumenhurst, Haiji Kang, they're all there. Now, I picked Tiger Woods, of course, in my fantasy golf. You know, I'm probably not supposed to say that, but hey, why not? I got on the bandwagon. And, of course, he went down and had a really difficult day. but Bill Haas is in the lead. I'm so happy. Well, actually, he's not right now because their play is underway. Charles Schwartzel and Matt Kuchar and Bill Haas and Matt Jones and Kyle Stanley and J.J. Henry and Davis Love III, who, by the way, Davis Love III will be trying to get into the U.S. Open on Monday, when the longest day in golf. And you can all watch it on Golf Channel because they're going to be everywhere at the 12 different sites. Pat Perez, another one who will be trying to get into the U.S. Open. He's also tied for six as this day at Memorial gets underway. So it's going to be interesting to see if there are any more weather delays. That's been sort of the trend on tour, hasn't it? And that double hole-in-one. Wow, Andrew Dotts, congratulations, man. You know, two holes in one in the same round. How often does that happen? I think it's happened once on the PGA Tour. Let's get straight to it now. 30 Days to a Better Golf Game. The Par Plan is the name of the book from Golf Magazine. Powered by Golf Tech, a revolutionary system to shoot your best score in 30 days. And Andy Hiltz is the Vice President of Instruction and Education at Golf Tech. He's a PGA Master Professional in Instruction. Golf Digest Top 20 Instructor in America Under 40 between 2009 and 2012. Just an amazing person. We're going to bring him onto the show right now. Welcome, Andy Hiltz.
Great to be here, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
You know, I'm the absolute skeptic, as you've probably heard me say twice already, but I'm willing to... How much time do you need from me for 30 days?
You know, as much as you could possibly dedicate to it, because there's certainly a huge, huge challenge in 30 days to break your personal par, depending on where you're at to begin with, right? Certainly the better player who's trying to shave off that one or two strokes, you know, obviously can take some more time. But a player who's, you know, in the middle handicap range, you know, with dedicated time and working on the right stuff, I think has a good opportunity to break their personal par in 30 days.
Wow. So that's one of the struggles, the frustrations that the person who is just about scratch confronts. It's like losing that last 5 pounds of weight that you're trying to lose. It's like getting those last two strokes, you know? So you think a person has a good chance of accomplishing that with this plan?
I think so. You know, again, like I said, depends on the handicap. You know, if it's that one or two handicap type player, probably isn't, the most feasible. You know, it becomes a lot more feasible, you know, obviously the higher the score, because it's just easier to take off more strokes, as you well know.
Oh, okay.
To me, either way, though, you know, if this is a low handicap player, and one of the things that I guess for me, you know, makes me comfortable making that claim, even though it may take more than 30 days, you know, in reality, if you've got 60 days, 90 days, a summer to work on things, you know, obviously our odds are going to improve as we just have more time to go work on those things. But what got me intrigued about the book when we started talking with Golf Magazine was the ability to really connect the reader to our mobile app, which is called MyPro2Go. And that mobile app really allows the reader to connect to a golf tech coach. So to me, the most important thing is not just working on your game for 30 days, but it's working on the right things for 30 days. So that's really part of the book. And the first part of the book is to capture your swing with the app called MyPro2Go, and then submit the swing or your putting stroke or your chipping stroke or whatever the worst part of your game is to a coach who can then give you a guided instruction so you know specifically what to work on, and it just isn't out there working on random different things. And with that, you know, with a coach who knows what he's doing and gives you the right things to work on, I think we've got a really good opportunity to break your personal par in 30 days.
Oh, I like this. Okay, because I suggested, you know, if you started something with a coach and you weren't sure if you were practicing correctly, not to continue. That was my suggestion last weekend. Don't continue if you're not sure that you're doing it right. Wait until your next lesson. Then show the person, this is how I wanted to do it. And they'll tell you if you're right, because you don't want to practice something wrong.
That's exactly right.
Right. But this way, what you're telling me is I can send this to a coach via this app that, and then they'll review it and send me feedback.
That's exactly right. They'll send you feedback of just some customized videos of your swing compared to other tour players who are obviously doing some things correct, and then give you the right drills to work on. And that's the other place, you know, where the book itself has a ton of different drills inside the book that readers can go to golftech.com/parplan to view those drills online. So there's some connectivity there as well from just reading how to do the drill versus actually seeing the visual of how to do that drill. And you know, again, when you add the coach piece to it, the coach is going to assign the right drill to work on so you know how to do it. And then in between your visits with the coach, you can continue to use the app once you know what to look for, have someone record your swing, and then confirm, even without the coach's help, that you're doing it the right way. And that's really, to me, one of the most important things from a teaching perspective is getting accurate feedback. You're not just on the range just beating balls. Mm-hmm. You're actually... you know, practicing with a purpose, and then confirming that what you're practicing is the right stuff.
So you record the swing down target view, behind the golfer, face-on view, caddy perspective. So you'll need somebody's assistance. But I like the book because it goes through step-by-step how to record the swing, how to use MyPro2Go, the app, which works, I assume, with all smartphones.
Correct, both Android and iPhones as well.
Excellent. So then what if there's a golf tech nearby? Can they participate? Would they be a part of this?
You bet. We've actually got some offers with the book itself for a person to go into a golf tech improvement center and get half off their swing evaluation or half off a personal club fitting. Because, you know, one of the steps in the book is to get fit. If you're not playing with equipment that's accurately or properly fit to your swing, look, we got opportunity that we can take off, you know, 2, 3, 5 strokes off your game, depending obviously on your handicap and how ill-fit your current set is, just by changing the equipment. So there's obviously those offers that they can duck into a golf sack half off of both a personal club fitting and a swing evaluation and really get that one-on-one interaction with the coach, which in my opinion is you know, even better than having that coach connectivity through the app and just through someone's web lesson.
Yeah, so you can, if you are close by a golf tech facility, you can start off with them and then maybe work toward just using the app. But for folks who are just too far away from a facility, they have this opportunity to use the app and the book, and between the two, make some improvements so they actually have a person participating.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. One of the things in the book that we've done too, Danielle, was to really structure the book with two things to give someone the best opportunity to break their personal par. Number one, the three things, in my opinion, that are most important to getting better are driving the golf ball in play, you've got to hit your wedges well, and you've got to putt well. And those are the first three chapters in the book that really help give the person who's reading the book the most amount of time to work on those three aspects, because that's where you're going to save the most strokes. Then the other thing we did in the book, too, to help the reader understand what aspect of the game needs the most improvement are some assessments. So I'll give you an example. There's an assessment in the book called the 11-ball median drill, and we do it with wedges. So we'll have you hit 11 wedge shots. You take away your 5 best, you take away your 5 worst, and that leaves you with a median distance or a median ball that allows you to kind of assess where you're at. And if this is really a part of your game that will help you improve and shave some strokes off. So with those assessments and with the book structured with the most important chapters first, I think we give that, you know, the reader a good chance at breaking their personal par in 30 days.
And then if a person's getting really burnt on reading and trying, then there's the bonus lessons, as you mentioned earlier. You can watch videos of the drills, let's say the wedge drills or the putting drills, at golftech.com/parplan. So it all becomes, you're a work in progress. And I have to ask you this. We all kind of know that we want to speed up the game, playing the game. Maybe play 9 holes, as we talked earlier in the show about, instead of, you know, having to play 18, make it okay that you're going to play 9 today because you have time for 9. Now, what should a person expect to improve, seriously? Not seriously, I mean to improve. How much time does one dedicate to practicing?
Great question.
You know, my piano teacher said you're going to have to practice at least 30 minutes a day if you're going to get better at this.
Yeah.
So
and she was probably right. I would say for sure, or he was probably right either way. And so I guess I'll go a couple different ways with that question, Danielle. I think the first thing is getting rid of some of the myths of how to practice, because you can practice anywhere. You can practice in the office. You can practice at a golf tech improvement center. You can practice at home in front of a mirror. There's all kinds of things that you can do to practice at random times. And it can be for, I don't know if you've ever read, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but if you've ever read the book called The Talent Code, there's a practice in there he talks about, it's called chunking. It doesn't mean chunking your wedge. What he means is breaking up your practice sessions into smaller, shorter increments and being very focused with the practice sessions. So I see the average person go out there and hit balls for an hour, and the reality is they're not really doing a lot of stuff that's beneficial after the first 15 minutes. So if you can spend 15 minutes here or even 5 minutes here and there practicing the right stuff, that can be massively beneficial. And then the second piece is just practicing the right way. I see so many people that are just out there raking balls, and they hit a ball and they rake another one in, and they hit a ball and they rake another one in, and they're not working on anything. And if we pick the right things to work on, again, through the app or through a golf tech coach, if you pick the right things to work on and then practice those things the right way, I think we can reduce the total amount of time needed. So kind of answer that question just in total time, man, that's a tough one, because it's going to vary by person. It's going to vary by how well they practice and where they practice. To me, I'm going to take as much time as I could possibly get from you. You know, the reality is most of our clients that come in for lessons at Golf Tech are busy. They don't have, you know, hours and hours and hours to dedicate to practice. So they've got to spend the time that they can practicing the right way and again, on the right drills.
So okay.
Call it an hour a day.
Yeah. And remember this. When you go play a round of golf today or tomorrow, and whether it's 9 or 3 or 18 holes, that whatever you've put into your game is what you're going to get out. So, if you haven't had a lot of time, the first couple of shots may be just fantastic. And you'll go, wow, practicing is not necessary. And then all of a sudden your body will start forgetting and it'll get tired or whatever. You know, the sun will beat on you and you'll lose yourself. And that's, enjoy the fact that you had a couple of good, and then realize that you didn't put any time into it. So enjoy the outdoors. You're outside. It's glorious. It's fun. That's where the fun comes in, at least from my perspective. That's when the fun needs to come in. You have fun. Of course you're going to have fun if you're playing well, right? Well, if you're not playing that well, don't beat yourself up about it. And, you know, book a lesson.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more, Danielle. I think you're 100% right. I've gotten to a point with a lot of my clients, honestly, where just stop keeping score. You know what? The beer cart's driving by. Get a cold beverage. Enjoy that on the golf course instead of waiting until the 19th hole. Stop keeping score and just enjoy the company you're with. You know, life is way too short to absolutely be miserable when you're on the golf course trying to relax and trying to enjoy yourself, you know, before you have to get stuck back in the office for 5 days next week, right?
So, yeah, and probably in the process you're going to make a couple of other people a little less happy too, because they're trying to go, hey, it's okay, dude, just have fun. And you know, you know, it's like, so let's have some fun. This is Golf Magazine's The Par Plan, a revolutionary system to shoot your best score in 30 days. Now, as Andy Hiltz, the Vice President of Instruction and Education at Golf Tech, says, you know, it may not work absolutely in 30 days, depending on how much time you put into it, but it's a great plan because it comes not only with the book, but you've also got an app, and then you've got a coach that, if you're not available to go to a golf tech, the coach can participate with you with the app, and there are online drills that you can go see watching videos at golftech.com/parplan. Really terrific meeting you and talking with you. You've got a big day in Toronto, don't you?
Yeah, I've been up here in Toronto for the last few days. We've got a grand opening for our new improvement center up here just north of downtown in Toronto. We've actually, you know, it's been just an amazing year for Golf Tech. We've opened another 30 improvement centers around the world, including improvement centers now in Tokyo.
Wow.
As well as in Seoul, Korea. We've got, this is our 10th improvement center now in Toronto, and we've got 160 down in the States. And I guess the mainland is how we say it in Hawaii, right?
Yes, it's on the mainland. Because yeah, we're just...
We even have the one in Honolulu down there on Pi'ikoi, which is a great little spot. I've been there a few times as well. It's, in conjunction with all the improvement centers, you know, we just taught our 4 millionth golf lesson this year. And just a staggering number. And that, to me, is great talking about the numbers. But the piece I'm always most excited about is our success rate. We've got a 95% success rate. And we poll our clients every fall after kind of the season ends. And we ask them, you know, have you improved? And are you on the right track to improvement? And 95% of our clients, when polled, say they have either played their best golf or they feel like they're on the track to playing their best golf. So we call that our 95% success rate.
And on that very positive note, thank you so much, Andy Hiltz, Vice President of Instruction and Education at Golf Tech, for being on the show. Really enjoyed talking with you.
You bet, Daniel. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you. And are you a dad?
I am a dad.
Happy Father's Day. We'll start
Thank
early.
Thank you, Daniel. I appreciate it. That's good. I'm glad. Glad somebody is.
Absolutely. And we want to thank the people who make the golf club possible, because without their sponsorship, we wouldn't be on the air. Thank you to Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With the amount of traffic that we all have to drive in, you should ride in comfort. And the Acura RLX and the RLX Advance, with its braking system, in case you can't see something, it's here and it's very cool. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr., yep, they conspired to create this stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. We gave away our first two rounds of golf to a father, I think, or Matt, on Kauai, and we'll be doing that again next weekend, a unique and unforgettable golf experience. It's Poipu Bay. Star Protection, yes, for property threat risk assessment. Get them on your property, then they'll figure out the perfect plan to protect your home or your business or your special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection, what you need in Hawaii and California. You can find us at radiogolfclub.com, RSS podcast, however you'd like it, or at Stitcher Radio. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2013.